As you know, I support his plan. I think it's reasonable. What he talks about in terms of barriers is exactly what Democrats have voted for in the past, and it funds the top 10 priorities of a border security plan put forward by the experts on the border, a plan, by the way, that Congress has embraced in the last two appropriation cycles. On the other hand, the way the president has chosen to fund part of it through a national emergency, I think is the wrong way to go. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The reason I feel that is for two reasons. One, I think it's going to set a bad precedent. In other words, future presidents would be able to use a national emergency going against the will of Congress for other issues, say the Green New Deal. And second, you know, it's going to get tied up in the courts, which I think everybody acknowledges. And therefore, the very funding I want to get down to the border to be able to solve this problem, to deal with the crisis, which has to do with drugs, which has to do with trafficking, which has to do with illegal immigration.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm here every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon here in Flemington at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. We have a studio here in this restored, I guess it's a Greek Revival building, which is a beautiful facility. And if you ever have a chance to come and visit me, that would be great. In fact, I'd love to interview you. I have many people that come for interviews, and sometimes I'll do a monologue. Today I'm going to do half monologue and half interview. But we're located here on Main Street in Flemington, New Jersey. The name of my program, again, is Teachable Moments in Business. I have a real passion about helping people be successful in their businesses. And in order to do that, certain individuals, whether they're entrepreneurs or even established business owners, find that they will eventually have to get some advice for somebody who's been there and done it. So that's the value of Teachable Moments in Business, that you can get some advice. And today you're going to hear information from me, as well as from Bill Harnden, who is the director of the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. But before he gets here, we have some words from a sponsor. I'll take a look at the weather, and we'll continue on with the program.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm speaking to you from Flemington, New Jersey. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, and it is March already, March 5th, 2019, and I don't think we're going to get any rain, maybe a tiny bit of snow this evening, but it's partly cloudy. There will be a high of about 30 degrees Fahrenheit with winds from 5 to 10 miles per hour. And to this evening, Tuesday night, it will be mostly clear, but it's going to get cold with a low down to 12 degrees and slight winds. But it's dry, so I don't think it's going to feel as cold as you might think it would. On Wednesday, the 6th of February, pardon me, March, I'm really going backwards here, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours, and it will become overcast in the afternoon. And then Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 7 degrees. Oh, it's going to get colder on Wednesday with winds from 5 to 10 miles per hour. So, the weather is pretty mild at this point, which is nice since we just came out of a snowstorm that kind of crippled parts of New Jersey on Monday, the 4th of March. So, as I said, we're going to have a guest, Bill Harnden, who is the director of the SBDC. And I wanted to share with you information about the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. The center is actually one of, I believe, 13 centers around the state, and they're managed by the NJSBDC, which has headquarters at Raritan at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey. The SBDC actually started back in the 70s, mid to late 70s, and I understand the first center, and I'm going to explain to you what the center does, but the first center was actually founded in New Jersey, and obviously the system worked well, and for that reason, the SBA, the federal agency that funded this program, went nationwide. So today I've been told that there are about 1,100 centers across the country, each of which, in my opinion, has a different culture. It's a matter of who the director is. It's a matter of where they're located, the community that they're in, as well as the kind of people that support the organization in terms of counselors and program directors and teachers who run the programs. But the SBDC was founded as a way to support business. And when Bill gets here, when we get him into the interview, I want to find out what percentage of business represents that builds the economy here in New Jersey. Also, a lot of women are starting businesses today, more so than ever before, and he may have some of those numbers for us. But at the small business development centers across the country, the common denominator is that there is free counseling. Now, in New Jersey, I believe just about all of the counselors are self-employed, so they've been there and done it in terms of whatever issues they may be counseling a client on. And then when it comes to classes, many of the counselors do teach, but then we also have other people that teach classes. Now, at Raritan Valley Community College, we have, I think, and Bill will clarify this, but I think we have around 13 or 15 counselors, each of whom has several areas of expertise. In my case, I've been there the longest, and I started there in 2001. And as a counselor, I've met, I don't even know at this point, one of these days I'm going to count them up, but I bet you it's a couple thousand people that I've counseled there. And occasionally I've gone to some of the other centers as well. But I talk to people that think about starting a business. They've already started, and they reach an impasse, and they need help. I've also counseled people who've been in business for a long time. I had a fellow who was in business for not a super long time, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And he realized he had never written a business plan. So I counseled him, and he actually attended one of my classes on writing a business plan. We have other people that have been in business longer, and business changes. And if you don't stay up to date with your industry, with technology, you're just going to get run over by the competition. I mean, it's a fact, and we've seen it many, many times. So I encourage you to take advantage of this program. If you're thinking about a business or you're already in business, you know somebody, you have a spouse, a friend who wants to start a business, this is the place to go because, first of all, the counseling's free, and you can go back to the center multiple times. And I've had people come back and literally make the rounds from one counselor to the next. I may counsel someone who has questions in an area of knowledge that I don't have, so I'll refer them on to somebody else. I mean, that is extraordinary. I mean, this is a good deal that you have to take advantage of. As far as the classes are concerned, again, they're on all different topics, whether it's marketing your business online. There are courses on legal matters, taxes, bookkeeping. We have counselors. I'm going to go back and forth here, but we have counselors that can talk about bookkeeping, and QuickBooks is something we typically recommend. We have an HR professional. We have a food professional. There are people who want to start food businesses, and we have help in that area. We have people that can review the finances of a company to make sure they're on the right track, because a lot of people don't have anyone looking over their shoulders to make sure that they're making money. And if you don't make money, it's a hobby. So that's what I say to people. If you're not making money, it's a hobby. Is that where you want to be? Or do you want to make this something that's going to put food on the table? We have an insurance professional. We have an attorney that you can see for advice perhaps on agreements or partnerships. The point is we don't do the work for the clients. The clients come for advice, and quite often we're able to refer them on to either to other counselors or perhaps other resources in the area. The SBDC at Raritan Valley Community College focuses on businesses that are outreaches for people to come from Somerset and Hunterdon County. However, we have had people come to our center from outside the area. It depends on what they're looking for, but in terms of support, and maybe they're not getting it where they are located, but they can get it where, you know, from the college. So it's really the best deal in town, and I just totally recommend that you take advantage of this system. Now, I'm going to be giving a talk to a networking group on the 16th of April, and I honestly forget who I'm speaking to and where they're located. It's in Whippany, I think. But they asked me to talk about tracking their customers. So the other night I was putting together some talking points for my program. I have to talk about 45 minutes. And the title that I came up with is something on the order of monetize your skills. But who are your customers? Who needs, wants, and afford what you have to offer? So I get to talking about exactly who is your target audience. And what I find through the counseling that I do privately as well as at the center and also with the students that come into my classes, a lot of people don't know who their target audience is. It's hard to believe. They'll be so excited about starting a business, but they haven't figured out how to get to the people that they want to, that they're best suited to serve. And the example that I sometimes give is I've been working in the pet industry. I'm the first woman to own a manufacturer's rep agency in the pet supply industry. And I started my business back in the late 1970s, so I guess you could say I'm old. But the interesting thing is occasionally we would get calls from somebody who was looking for sales representation in the pet industry. And I would ask them, who's your target audience? And the response was, well, anybody that has a dog. Let's say it's a company that makes pet shampoo. And they'll say, well, it's anybody with a dog. Well, the point here is that you can't do business with anybody. It has to be somebody. And that means you have to identify the target audience that you're best suited to serve. Now, if you're new in business, you have to find problems that people have and have solutions for them. So that means doing your homework, doing some surveys, perhaps joining trade associations to find out, to gain information and knowledge for the industry that you're going into. Those people who have been in business for a while and are discovering that their pipelines are getting empty, which is not unusual, then they have to go back and look at their records. Have they kept records on who the people are that they have been serving? And can you say that there are certain clusters of clients that represent a source of substantial income for a business? And if that's true, if you can identify those people that are generating revenue for your business, then you need to find more of them. So, for example, some years ago, I had a fellow come to me who was a CPA, and he wanted to know how he could build his business, that he didn't have enough customers. So I asked him to think about the clients that he had been serving because he'd been in business for quite a while. And it turns out that I'm going to throw out a number here, but let's say 20% of his clients were attorneys. And perhaps another source of his clients were people who were in banking. I'm just throwing out these numbers. I said, well, then go find some more attorneys and go find some more banks, because if those bring you revenue, then you need to find more of those kinds of people or companies. Another issue that's a kind of a sidebar here is that people don't keep track of their contacts. So I recommend that you have a CRM system, a system whereby you have a database to log in and to post all the information that you need to have about everybody that you want to communicate with. And these could be customers, it could be prospects who are qualified, but it could be suspects. It could be people that you think could be qualified to become your customers. So people don't have those kinds of systems. Now, I do often recommend that you reach out through to a website called HubSpot. It's spelled HUBSPOT.com, and they offer a free CRM system. And I assume it'll be free for a while, for a long time. But they have a system that enables you to keep track of the people that you've met so that you can reach out to them on a regular basis. The more information you have about a prospect or a customer or a suspect, the more you can communicate in a meaningful way. So what do you put on the CRM system? You put in name, address, phone number, cell number, website, extension number in the business? Who are the decision makers in the business? What organization do they belong to? What's the nature of their business? If they've been a customer, what have they bought from you? And what are their prospects to buy in the future? So there's so much information that you can keep track of that will be so beneficial in perhaps doing email blasts or sending out newsletters, even directing your blog to certain companies. A company, for example, may have a new resource for customers that they've already served, so they may want to let the older customers, the established ones, know about the new resource. They may not tell everybody, but just the established customers. So there's ways to use a database. So knowing the target audience means that you identify who you're best suited to serve, and I recommend typically that you have no more than 3 or 4 target audiences that you're going to be reaching out to. If you have more than that, and I've seen people say, well, I could do business with these people, with those people. They have this long list of potential prospects or customers that they want to serve. But when it comes to marketing, they're going to be stretched in their marketing outreach. You're better off narrowing it down to where you have the best opportunities. And if some of those categories of customers don't work out, then you go find some more. But I recommend no more than 3 or 4 clusters or silos, if you want to use that word, of customers that you can reach to. The beauty of that approach is that when you have a cluster of people in a category, chances are they know each other, they belong to the trade assignment, the trade associations, or they meet in the same places. They have similar interests. But that you can get referrals from one to the other, and you become the go-to person in that category of business as opposed to stretching out too far. So that's very important to know the target audience and then how you're going to reach that target. Who are they and where do they hang out? So what publications do they read? What organizations do they belong to? Sometimes you can become an affiliate member of an organization. If you don't qualify to be a member, you might become an affiliate. And perhaps you could offer articles of information for the members of those organizations, which will touch the people that you want to do business with. Another thought here when it comes to developing your business, and I talked to my clients about this, is why do you do what you do? Because people buy why you do something. So, and I think it gives you an opportunity to express the passion that you have for the business and for the clients that you're serving. So what is your why? In fact, Simon Sinek wrote a book entitled What is Your Why? So that can be incorporated into a statement that you make to that audience that you want to serve. Tell them why you do what you do, because that shows that shows them that you have a passion for why you do what you do. Another thing is a business is the purpose of a business is to solve a problem. So if you don't have a problem, if you can't solve problems, you don't have a business. So your target audience has to figure out exactly. You have to clarify with your target audience what their problems are, and then develop an approach for solving them. So that's another thing. You have to be driven by the needs of that audience. And I'm going to get into more of this later, but I think we're going to break for a few words from our sponsors, and I will be back.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And I want to welcome Bill Harnden, who is our guest for today. He is the director of the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College, which is located in North Branch, New Jersey. Bill, I already told the audience that we have, there are what, 13 centers in the state?
Well, there's 13 total, yes.
13 centers.
12 regionals and one specialty.
Okay, and that you've been, you are the director. I mentioned that having worked, I've been actually connected to the SBDC in New Jersey since 2001, which is a long time. And I've noticed that there's a different culture in every center. It depends on who the directors are and the people that are there and the communities that they're serving. So each one's a little bit different.
That's correct.
But what I find at Raritan, it's a very broad-based organization that serves a lot of people in a lot of different areas, which I think makes our center at Raritan Valley very special. Of course, that's why I'm there, because it's special.
Yes, we're built in such a way that if a person comes to us with a special need, that we have the counseling staff to address that need.
Yeah, you've assembled a wonderful team. So let's go back a little bit to talk about, I was just telling the folks that Simon Sinek wrote a book entitled What Is Your Why? You've been at the center for how many years have you been there now?
15.
You've been there for 15 years.
Yep.
And you're still there, and you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Why do you do what you do?
Well, first of all, I tell everybody I probably have the best job in the world because there's nothing more rewarding than helping people with a need. It's something special. Why I do it is because I've been in their shoes. Back in 1995, I formed my own business. I purchased a franchise and ran the franchise for a couple of years, and I had a ball. So fast forward a couple of years, a venture capital group bought me out, and so I said to myself, what do I want to do when I grow up? So I headed over to Raritan Valley, and I began my career there in 98 in the finance office. And then one day in 2003, the regional director at the time of the Small Business Development Center came over and said, I hear you had a business. And I said, yeah. And she says, well, I'm looking for an assistant director. And so I said to myself, you know, that's not a bad idea. So she recruited me, and so I really began in February of 2004.
Yeah. So that's and you've done a wonderful job. And we have, I know you have statistics, but about how many clients have we served over the years, or maybe the average per year that we get?
Well, the average per year is close to 400, yeah. 400 unique clients. But that really doesn't give the grand perspective of the center, because of those 400 clients, we might do about 2,000 counseling sessions throughout the year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, our goal is to I want quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we make an adequate investment in the clients. And so what we do is we look at what we call a long-term client of 5 hours or more that we would invest our time. And, of course, they're investing their time. Mm-hmm. And we feel that that's the magic number, because individuals who are going to come to us and just counsel for an hour and that's it, a lot of times they don't get the message, so we need them to keep coming back, and yeah, right, we need to deliver that message. As you as a counselor know that there's a need for people to do their homework and come back and report and say, this is what I've done so far. And
that's right.
That's what we really need to accomplish, yeah, when we counsel.
I counseled a fellow the other day. I was the third counselor. He said, and he wasn't writing down any notes. And I said, you're not writing down any notes about what we're discussing. He said, well, you've already told me a few things that the other two counselors, and they gave me homework. And then eventually I said something. And he said, you'll notice I'm writing down because you just told me something new. And by the end of the session, he said, man, I have a lot of work to do. But
well, that's good that the message was consistent through the counselors.
It was. And that makes me feel good, too, as a counselor. I'm not out left field.
Right.
And he's a gentleman who actually had a business, and for certain reasons he started over again in the same industry. So he had a background knowledge, but what is not unusual are the folks that are people are very skilled at what they do, but they don't have the business knowledge and the administrative knowledge.
Oh, that, we run into that every
and
day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that was his problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he now, he says, well, I'm going to get QuickBooks. I'm going to start, before you came in here today, I talk about the importance of having CRM system, customer relationship management mm-hmm. system. He's going to do that. And there were a bunch of other things he was going to, and also messaging. And that's another thing. A lot of people don't know how important the message is that they need to project, whether it's in verbally or in writing. And you have to have the right message that attracts your audience. As I say, you want people to knock on your door.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's what it is. You know, for some people, it's hard to get customers. So you have to have that message out there that resonates, so people mm-hmm. hear about it and they think, oh yeah, and give
clear and concise.
Exactly. So it's a call to action. A mm-hmm. lot of people. Don't, as I say, too, that having a website, having advertisements, even going to networking events or having other opportunities to be in front of people quite often becomes what you might call interruptive marketing. It's just the messages that go out. But the important thing is that you have that message that resonates so people come to you, which is called inbound marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't think about that.
No. The culture has changed. Everybody thinks Google's going to solve their problem
yeah.
with their marketing.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. As you and I have talked many times about an integrated approach, that is so important for people to understand that. If you're not going to take an integrated approach, something's going to be missing from your game plan.
That's very true. And, in fact, I've had people come to me and say, what's the one best thing? I said, there isn't one best. And there's no magic bullet.
That's great advice.
You know, it's just it's that combination, as you said, integrated approach that surrounds the target audience. And a lot of people don't know who their target audience is. That's not uncommon.
Right.
And then sometimes they'll say, well, I want to do business with so-and-so and so-and-so. And they end up with a list of 5 or 10 different categories of prospects that they want to go after, and that's overwhelming.
It's like running six marathons at the same time. You know, it's not possible.
Yeah, it's very, very, very true. And so what I tell them, if you've been in a business for some time, and we do have people that are reaching an impasse and their pipeline's getting empty, go back and look at your records. And that's what this fellow that came to see me was going to do. He said he still had records from his first business. Go back and categorize the people that you've served to see where they came from in terms of the type of business they're in, or geographically where are they located. And therefore you can begin to identify if people that have been successful for your business, you want to find more like that. And so that was something that he was going to do. That was another one of his pieces of homework.
Yeah, of course. Every little bit counts, right?
That's right. What I wanted to ask you about was more and more women are opening up businesses today.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that you see that happening through the SBDC with people coming to see us?
Well, statistically, 70% of our clients are women.
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah. So
there's a great
inflow of women trying to start their own businesses.
Yeah. And they come in all shapes and sizes when it comes to businesses.
Yes.
Everything from working out of your home to
yep.
going out into the world. And
yep.
And the beauty of the counseling is that we have so many counselors that with so many areas of expertise that usually you can hit on. You can understand where those people are coming from.
Yes.
You can relate. And that's
yes.
what I've, having been, well, I've been in business for over 40 years, which is hard to believe in itself. And I started when I was like 10. But it's always amazing to me that somebody will come in for counseling that I don't know. And literally within the first 5 to 10 minutes, I have them kind of figured out as to what we need to talk about. It may not be everything, but I can at least hit on some stuff that we need to start working on right away. It's amazing to me.
That's what I want to say about our counselors. They do a great job of a triage process.
Yeah.
You guys, you go and talk to the clients one-on-one and really get to their soul. You know, what do you really want to
yeah.
do? Do you know how to accomplish this?
Yeah.
And then with that process, you make referrals to the other counselors, and that's what I feel is the benefit of what we do at the center. you guys know that the client will need to do this. You'll make sure that they are directed to the right counselor. That counselor will hopefully give them the answers that they need. And if that counselor doesn't have it, maybe that counselor knows where to go next to make sure the answers are obtained.
Yeah. That is, you know, years ago, I had belonged to networking groups off and on for a very long time. And I would meet people that were serving as mentors or advisors for other business people. And I could never understand how they, if they've never worked in a business, how could they advise somebody? But I think that because the counselors are all, you know, they've all been there and done it. And they've worked in so many areas. And we have so many clients coming in that we learn from. That gives us the ability to deal with people from all walks of life. I mean, if I was a freshman doing this, I couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, it, you need to have people that have been there and done it.
Right. We're very nimble. That's the word I like using.
That's a good word. That's a really good word. So one of the other things I mentioned to our listeners before you came here was my curiosity in terms of what's the impact of small business in terms of the economy in New Jersey. I think there are numbers out there about how many small businesses there are and what they contribute to this economy.
Now, I don't know the specific statistics, but I do know that probably one out of every 20 businesses that are in New Jersey are a small business. Now, you say, well, not one out of 20, I'm sorry, 19 out of 20.
Yeah.
And you might say, okay, if you do the number, that's 90%, and that's probably right.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
So we are the greatest employment force in the state of New Jersey. Yes, we have our large corporations here. And that's great. There's a great balance between it because sometimes the small business will support the larger business. And that's pretty much what people do. They try to park themselves in a strategic position to support the bigger companies. But also, too, they park themselves in a position that they're gonna help their clients with whatever needs they have.
Yeah, It's very exciting, actually. I'm going to break for a quickie news report, and then we're going to come back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Two political action committees founded by Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's top aide funneled over $1 million in political donations into two of his own private companies. That's according to a complaint that was filed with the FEC on Monday. The cash transfers from the PACs run counter to AOC's pledges to increase transparency and reduce the influence of dark money in politics. Regarding these allegations, AOC tells Fox News,
"There is no violation, so there's no violation."
President Trump plans to visit Alabama Friday after Sunday's deadly tornadoes. Lee County, Alabama Sheriff Jay Jones says they're continuing to search for those missing.
It is hoped that we will begin transitioning rather from a search and rescue to a recovery status.
At least 23 people have died and around 10 are missing. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. We're here every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In fact, if you would like to be interviewed on this program or if you have a recommended person that I should have come in here to so we can pick their brains and do some brainstorming, you're more than welcome to give me a call. My phone number is 908-832-9544. I'll repeat it. It's 908-832-9544. So I have Bill Harnden here today, who is the director at the SBDC, and he's been there since 2003. Right,
Four.
2004.
Yep.
And he has built an incredible team of counselors and trainers who are capable of working in all different aspects of advice and of work. They have experience in all different types of work to advise our clients who need help. So share with us some of your observations lately.
Okay, so what I said to you just a minute ago, there's a downward trend on something that I'm very concerned about, and that is the willingness to write a business plan. The business plan is the heart and soul of your small business, and you have to recognize that. Nowadays, people want to use fancy bells and whistles, and they really think that the Internet is going to solve all their small business problems. That's a conversation that I have every day with people, saying you really got to invest the time to really forecast how your business is going to operate, what are your numbers, just so you have an idea. Because, again, with this trend, I am starting to see people come back, several months later in distress because they really didn't plan. And once a business is in distress, it's very hard, extremely hard to recover. Most of the time when they're in distress, they need additional working capital to get over a hurdle. Well, if you go to a bank and you're in distress, they're not really going to entertain the idea of giving you funding because you're in distress.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is we try to do the business plan first. This is definitely the horse before the cart, that we get them to write a business plan, and they'll see the numbers that they have to achieve. That's the key, the numbers that they have to achieve. And with that, too, is we try to go over funding for this small business. Do you have enough cash? We go through a cash flow analysis with people to say that, if you don't want to get 6 months out and you run out of capital. So we go through the process of doing that. Now, we are not going to write the business plan. I don't know if you had indicated that earlier.
No.
We will not write the business plan because the individual entrepreneur will not benefit from it. They got to write it. We'll coach them through the process, and then we'll go over the numbers and we'll teach them what to address to make sure that they're successful. But like I said, nowadays people treat it as, I don't want to do another book report. I was doing book reports for years, and it's really not a book report.
No.
This is your manual, your operations manual,
exactly,
that say this is what you need to do to succeed. And it's not a crystal ball, but it's a good attempt to make sure that you understand that if you project that you need to have $10,000 a month in sales, well, you got to know how many widgets you got to sell to get to that amount.
That's
so
right.
You got to keep track of all that stuff. And if you don't keep track of it, you're going to be in distress. If you get into distress, it's very tough to recover.
Yeah. So we have counselors who are extremely skilled in reading business plans and critiquing them.
Yes.
And we have people that can look at the numbers so that people can, as I say to people, you need to have somebody look at your numbers because you may not be making money. If you're not making money, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
So
we call them crafters.
Where do you want to be?
Right.
You want to put food on the table or are you playing?
Right.
So you need somebody to look at those numbers. I had a woman come a number of years ago who, to her credit, it's a long story, but to make it short, to her credit, she got her business launched and she was doing a lot of good stuff. But all of a sudden, she hit an impasse, and she said, now what do I do? I said, well, did you write a business plan before you even started?
Mm.
And she had not.
No.
And had she done it, she may not have started the business because that impasse was as a result of her not having knowledge, but also I think the personal motivation to do what needed to be done. So had she seen what was necessary in terms of motivation and ingenuity,
right,
she may not have, and so she spent a ton of money.
Right.
I mean, a ton of money.
And that's That's why we're here.
Yeah.
The Price is Right. I don't know if you explained to everybody earlier, but when you come to the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College, our counseling services are at no charge. You come and we counsel you for free. Our reward, our fee is that you're successful. We want you to be successful. We want you to hire people. We want you to pay your taxes. That's what makes this system work. You know,
exactly.
That's really what makes our system work. So we want to do everything we can to make sure you're successful.
Well, that's and it's a wonderful one. People send it. I get notes every so often from people that are so appreciative of what they.
Oh, she's being modest. She gets a lot of notes saying thanks for helping me. She gets a lot of them, and that's what I like hearing. My counselors getting these letters saying that they had an impact on this person's business.
It's really an extraordinary experience for all of us. That's for sure. Now. You've actually taken us in the new direction with regard to education. We do have, I don't know how many classes we teach in a semester. It's a lot.
On an average, about 50 plus.
50
plus.
So all those classes are listed in our directories as well as online, so people can see what we teach, and descriptions of those classes are also listed. But what changes in education and the system for teaching have you been able to work with?
All right, so recently we decided that in today's world, a lot of people like staying home and being taught in front of a computer or their phone or their iPad. And that's okay, as long as they're learning.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do is we have a duo delivery approach, meaning that we are starting to migrate all our classes to a platform where the person can either attend in person, which I prefer, by the way, or they can stay home and just log in. We use a Zoom.us platform. And so they're sitting in front of their computers as if they were sitting in front of the instructor. They raise their hand. The instructor calls on them. They have a question. It's just a great way of doing things. Now, we haven't really achieved like a 50-50. You know, we might have 8 people in class and 2 people virtual, but it's given people options now because our classes are at night. They're Monday through Thursday, 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. And as you said, in our website under training, we have a number of classes. By the way, our website is www.sbdcrvcc.com, and you just click on training, and you'll see all the programs that we offer. There are those that have fees attached to it, and there are those that we offer for free. But getting back to the duo delivery process, I think that's the future. I think that if I want to educate more and more people, that we need to offer this platform.
Well, that's good. I gave my first session a week ago, and we had several people in the classroom, and then we had 2 online. One of them, I think, was laying in bed.
Well,
that's
some of the challenges. We tried it in our emails. We just say you're going to be visible to everybody.
Yeah.
You just make sure you don't have the kids running around
or
the window open and someone's running the lawnmower.
Yeah.
Those are the challenges. I don't really call them challenges, because people have got to be – they got to get used to, the environment, the change in the environment. And we as instructors, we just got to go with the flow. Is it things like that happen?
I can see the headboard.
Yes.
But,
yes.
That person I may have counseled, but the other person I had counseled on the telephone, but I had never met her.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself was interesting, too, because I could relate already to those folks who were calling in. But the class went pretty well. I was pretty happy with it. And the classes typically run for 3 hours, and it ended early because, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that we talked about people started asking questions, and the ones in the classroom and the ones online were asking each other questions and making suggestions to one another. And that was so cool.
But that's the process.
Yes.
That's the process. You don't. As long as you don't know that there is a barrier there, again, a voice, there's no barrier other than if you're talking through a wall.
Yeah.
But in that duo delivery process, There's no barriers. You can have that exchange with between the students,
yeah.
between the instructor and students. You know, it's just it was a perfect scenario.
Really neat. The class was on networking skills, but then at the end when we started exchanging ideas, the one lady posed a question. It gave me a chance to make a suggestion based on knowledge that I utilize in other class topics that I teach. And I brought in this idea, and she, oh, I never thought about that. And then the other girls in the room were supporting it.
Right. And I want to tell the listeners here, I think there is a decline of people understanding how to network. It is a skill, and it's a required skill.
Yeah.
And we need to teach more and more people how to network with success. If you don't know how to network, you're just limiting yourself.
It's very true. You just can't sit behind a desk and assume something's going to happen. So you have to network online, but also in the real world.
Exactly.
And it's a combination, like we said before, the integrated approach that really, and I draw a picture of putting the X as your target, and you surround that target mm-hmm. with multiple exposures. And so online exposures, but offline, and networking is really, really valuable.
And another thing, too, is there are a lot of people think that networking is just talking to people. Network is not, you're better at describing it than I am, but network is really to understand the individual who is in front of you, understanding that what needs, asking questions and what to get the answers to what needs they have.
That's exactly right. In fact, the list I give people in my class is the first thing when you go out networking in a networking event mm-hmm. is to learn something, whatever your
right.
goals are to learn.
Right.
Secondly, how can you help other people? Because that's what business is about today, is helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way to build trust and connections and awareness.
Right.
And then you begin to say what kind of clients you're looking for. And maybe you'll do business with somebody in the room, but if quite often people don't go back after one time because they say, oh, I didn't do business with anybody in the room. Well, if that
doesn't work,
work that way.
They're your salespeople now.
That's exactly right.
They're your salespeople.
Exactly
they're going
right.
out and say, I talked to so-and-so,
yeah.
and they have this business. Call them.
Yeah.
And that's what networking is all about.
Yes.
You know, talking to people, understanding their needs if they don't need you, but they're understanding what you do.
Yeah.
And that's part of the networking process.
That's very true. I'm going to have a couple messages from our sponsors, and I'm going to be right back.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterton is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterton County's businesses. Advancing Hunterton engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterton, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterton.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This program is live on Facebook, and you'll find this stored on my Facebook page, which is Teachable Moments in Business. It's also archived on the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website. If you go to the website for Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, there's a link to the radio programs or podcasts, whatever you want to call them, and you can listen to all of them. We have quite a few hosts, and each of us has our listings on that archive. And please tell your friends about our program, because there's information here that they're never going to learn anyplace else, I guarantee you. So my wonderful guest is Bill Harnden, who is our director at the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College. And we have just a few minutes left. Are there some other ideas that you would like to share with our listeners about the program, or maybe tips?
Well, some of the things that we go through almost every day is we try to tell people not to go from zero to 100. You know, everybody wants to rush to get into business, and it's a process. So what we try to do is, number one, we try to slow them down and go through a discussion of what they really want to do. And as I mentioned earlier, we encourage them to write a business plan, and it doesn't have to be 100 pages. A business plan can be 10 pages, as long as it tells you what you need to do,
That's right.
And the numbers you need to achieve. One other thing, too, is where small businesses go wrong is they're undercapitalized, or a lot of them will put all their money into the business up front, and then as the business is growing, they need additional funds to take them to the next level. And the one thing my job is to have them understand that don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, if you need $100,000 to start your business and you have that $100,000, well, I try to encourage them to borrow money. You know, right. Go to a bank and borrow money, because you want your $100,000 to be your safety net.
Right.
You know, all businesses borrow, all successful businesses, let's put it that way, borrow money. They borrow money. Even the Fords, the GMs, even Google borrows money because they know that they have to have a safety net in the background.
Right.
So what I encourage people to do is to really consider taking out a line of credit, a business line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very simple process, and you're not really paying anything into it until you start using it.
Right.
So if you choose to use a portion of your capital and then borrow some, that's a great balance. You know, if your business becomes more and more successful, you pay it off.
Right.
It's as simple as that. There are people who don't want to borrow money they have a great business plan, but they don't want to borrow money because they have to use their house as collateral. And I say to them, number one, the banks don't want your house.
Yeah,
they'll
good point.
Do anything and everything they can to make sure that they're not going to take your house.
Yeah.
All right, but you have to put skin in the game.
Yeah.
So if you really believe in yourself and you believe in your business plan, you just borrow money. Because the one thing I don't want people to get into is in a distressed situation where they're on the cusp of success and they don't have access to capital. So those are the things that we discuss, and we balance it out.
Right. But when it comes to borrowing, they can get help from our counselors who review the business plan, because we want to make sure that the money being borrowed is being put in the right place.
Exactly.
And that's one of the concerns I've had.
Yes.
People think they can borrow money to pay themselves.
And the banks will tell you you can't.
You can't do that.
You borrow money to help your business, but you're not going to borrow money for your salary for the next 6 months.
Exactly.
It just, first of all, it doesn't make sense. It might make sense to the average person, but when you go into business, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't. And that's why you have your reserve of your personal cash to take on that
gap. That's a good point. Absolutely.
You know, that's why we want people to have that balance of borrowing and saving.
Yeah. There are people that come in and they assume that money is available, like free money. I've never counseled anybody that told me they got free money from someplace.
Yeah, there's no free money whatsoever. Years ago, you had this guy He had the commercial. The only one who made money was him because you bought his book for $99.99. But there's no free money to start businesses. There's just not. There's people come to us for grants. Do you know of any grants? Well, you know, if you're going to start up a you know, a small shop and stuff like that, there's no grants available. Yeah. But if you're going to start up a high-tech company, and there's money available because the investment would be that, of course, this high-tech company will employ a lot of people and pay a lot of taxes. But the smaller operations, there's no grants available. So I don't want people to get into that philosophy that there's money out there that the government's going to give them.
Yeah. But at least we can steer them in the right direction to achieve their goals, and that's what's important.
Absolutely.
So we're coming down to the wire here. So what I'd like you to do is just share with our listeners how they can get in touch with the center and phone numbers and what have you.
Okay. All right. To reach the Small Business Development Center at Raritan Valley Community College, you can go to our website, which is www.sbdcrvcc.com. Or you can call us at 908-526-1200, extension 8516, or email us at sbdc@RaritanVal, that's all one word, RaritanVal.edu. So that's how you get in touch with us. And anything that you have of concern, feel free to get in touch with us. As Vicki had indicated earlier, if we don't have the answer, I have the ability to seek the answer from the other 12 centers that are distributed throughout the state, or we can go to our specialty office that handles procurement, international trade, and technology. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. So there's a lot of resources there. And,
a lot of resources.
So please share this information with your friends. Ask them to listen to this program and call the SBDC at Raritan Valley Community College. And, Bill, I want to thank you for being here
my
today.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And we'll get you back again some other time.
I would love to come back.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this program. And have a great week. I have a guest coming next week who's really interesting. He's a mentalist. So you're going to have to come to our program next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you. Goodbye now.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump has a message for veterans.
Our mission is to mobilize every level of American society to save the lives of our great veterans and support our heroes in need.
Today at the White House, the president signed an executive order that's meant to curb suicide among military veterans. President Trump continues,
the president's roadmap to empower veterans and end the national tragedy of suicide.
New York Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Tuesday denied violating federal campaign finance law after a conservative government watchdog filed a complaint with the FEC accusing the Democratic lawmaker and her chief of staff of being part of an off-the-books operation to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on candidates last year. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb will step down in a month. That's according to a Trump administration official. This is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare, and they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
At least 23 people have died after tornadoes ripped through eastern Alabama. Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones says they're continuing to search for missing people.
We're concentrating on specific pockets. The search is not as in a broad spectrum.
Jones continues.
It is hoped that we will begin transitioning rather from a search and rescue to a recovery status.
The ISIS bride will not get an expedited hearing in a U.S. court. A federal judge has rejected the request for a quick hearing to determine if she will be allowed back in the United States. Her attorney, Charles Swift, reacts to the decision.
The judge found the risk to her for waiting was speculative. But it's very important that what the judge also found. On the first prong, are we likely to succeed? He found that, yes, we are very likely to succeed in the final our motion and in our final complaint.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and Hillary Clinton says she's not running for president in 2020. At least that's what she told a local TV station in New York City. This is USA